Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Blog Talk Radio with your host, Pastor Cheryl Faxon. Thank you so much for joining me today for Favor Life, the process of there where we walk by faith and not by sight. In this 15-minute empowerment segment, you're going to be encouraged in your walk of faith, your process of there, encouraged in your stand, encouraged in even how you go through trials, tribulations, and the purpose of what God has called and created you for. Encouraged in the fact that God knows what he's doing with you, and no matter what you go through or you face, he's in control, he's with you, he'll never leave you nor forsake you, and his word for your life will not return back void. As long as we trust and obey God's word and command and rely on him, we will see the manifestation of his glory in our life like never before. We are growing in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ each time that we run to him, cling to him, and understand that his will is being done. The Bible tells us to, in Philippians, to search out our own soul salvation with fear and trembling, because it is God who wills and does what he chooses in us. And he knows exactly what he's doing in us, and we have to trust that and know that he is God. He's the one that chooses unlikely people for his glory, for his purpose, and his plan. And when he does it, it always works out for glory. He's getting glory, lives are changed. You become the salt. You become that city sitting on a hill, that light that is shining brightly. You draw men to God by your lifestyle of worship unto him. And you command the light and the love of God to be seen in you in such a way that lives are encouraged, lives are even brought to the throne of grace to Jesus because of you, because of your great witness. And so we thank God that he's chosen us for such a time as this. We've been looking at unlikely places of blessings, and we started off in the book of Esther, looking at her life and how God blessed her in an unlikely place of exile, not only her, but her cousin Mordecai, and brought out the nation of Israel. We also looked at Joseph and saw that place of unlikely blessing that God sent him ahead of time and matured him from just having zeal to having a maturity and a growth in every area of his life to handle the responsibility that he was going to have as a leader, a great leader over the Egyptian land and Egyptian people. And so we see that God chose him in a place and in a position that it didn't look like he could be blessed. Now we're looking still in the book of Genesis, but we're looking at Jacob, and we're looking at a character flaw. We're looking at character issues and character change. We see that the way that Jacob started out is not the way that Jacob ends, because his name is changed to Israel. God does something in his character that while he's in the process of becoming like God said, his character is being changed. He's beginning to see more of the promise of God manifesting him and seeing himself in a way that he did not see himself when he first started out. So God chooses places that we would never choose to cause a blessing to happen in our life if we would just allow him to, and allow him to stretch us in an uncomfortable place in our process of there. What you have to understand is this: the people that we read about in the Bible did not have the Bible as a whole, as what we have now. They did not have the end of the story. They were those who trust and believed God to do what he said. They were people who lived by covenant and by oaths. And they understood that when someone made an oath with you or made a covenant with you, that covenant and oath was going to stand. That if you did not fulfill your responsibility in that covenant and that oath in the natural realm, then that person had the right to attack you. That person had the right to come in and destroy you. That person had the right because you broke the covenant. But if you kept your covenant, if they ever came into an attack or war, you would leave where you were and bring all your fighting men and bring everything that they needed, and you would stand with them in covenant and fight long and hard with them. This covenant would just not be for that generation, but it would go on for every generation as long as that covenant stood in place. Well, we had people who knew that God made a covenant with Abraham, and all they knew that God said, if I don't do what I said I was going to do, if I don't be who I said I am for you, if I don't become or you don't become what I said you were going to become, then I'm going to trade places with you. And that's what God said, basically. He said, I'm swearing by myself that if I don't do all of these things that I said and make you into the nation and be the person, the God that I said that I was, and make you the people that I said I was going to, and bless you, and do all of these things that I said I was going to do for you, then I'm going to trade places with you. I'll step down, because that means I don't have the power to do it. I don't have the authority to do it. I'm not in control like I said I was. So they understood that making a covenant, when God made a covenant with them, it was an everlasting covenant. So they only had the word of God to believe and stand on. They didn't have a plan A or plan B. It was only what God said. So they relied and trusted strictly on what God said and what he promised them. We, on the other hand, do not understand covenant, and we don't understand an oath, because people break covenant and promises all the time, and they never stick to what they say. Their word has no value. It has no character. That's why when God told, when the Bible said that Esau despised God, the word concerning the promise, that's what it was saying, because someone's name, the name of a person, the character, the reputation of a person meant a lot. And when you despise their word, despise what God said, he was despising all that God said he would be and all that God said he would do and the covenant that he was giving to every generation. We have an everlasting covenant with God that has been prayed for, that has been purchased, that has been fully satisfied to the utmost by Jesus Christ. He has paid the price in full, and he has fulfilled that covenant in full. And that covenant says that every word that God spoke in the Old Testament is prevalent, real, alive, active, and true in the New Testament, but it is now sealed in the blood of Jesus by grace, and it's ours through faith. So everything that God has promised us belongs to us. Because we have not seen someone be faithful to the end, even when we are not faithful. He cannot deny himself. He will be faithful when you're not. He will be true when you're not. He will stand when you're gone, when you're not even standing. He's there. He will satisfy and fulfill his covenant, because he cannot fail. And we have to understand that we serve a God like that. We are in covenant relationship with God, that whatever he has said, whatever he has promised, it is ours. It's going to happen. I don't care how long you've been waiting on it. I don't care what's been going on in your life. I don't care how the enemy has made it seem and appear that it's not going to happen, that this thing is too big for God, that God is not strong enough. If God has spoken the word, then who or what can stop it? If God has already decided within himself, I've chosen to bless you, I've chosen to be your God, I've chosen to keep covenant with you, I've chosen to keep your sins covered through the blood of my son, I've chosen to do all these things for you because I'm well able, I'm well qualified. There's no one greater than me. Everything that exists exists because I created it, and it came from me. I am the source of all things. And anything that has been created, I created for a season and a time, but it must come subject to me, my power, my word, my decree, my dominion. Nothing is greater than God. The enemy was created for God's pleasure. God uses the enemy. He does not have power over God. We understand that because the word lets us know that. So the enemy cannot do any more to you than God allows. Go back and look at the book of Job. God is the one that considered Job. God is the one that told the enemy, have you considered my servant Job? Because there was something greater that God was trying to show, illustrate, and give to Job, and to let the people know that you can do good and things can happen in your life. And it does not mean that you are out of the wheel. It means that you're in a place of testing. So you have to hold on to the word of God and understand your process is not a process of naught. It is a process that God is taking you through. And God can bless you in an unlikely place when it looks like you're going down, when it looks like no one else is going to be around and all of your resources are closed up, that you don't know where it's coming from. God can command a door to open up that you've never known, never understood, or even thought would happen. He will call someone to dream about you or know you or hear about you, and you will never know it, and they will be the answer to what you need. So do not throw in the towel. Don't just take this gospel, take this word lightly and believe it for a certain time, a certain period. It does not apply to you. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence. I'm looking for evidence of what I'm believing God for, to show the manifest, to show everyone and the enemy that God is not just with me, but he's for me, and his blessings are yes and amen in my life. And the same God that was there in the book of Genesis with Abraham is the same God that's with me now. He doesn't change. There's no shadow of turning or changing with him. He is the same God, having lost any power, able to save to the uttermost and the guttermost. He is that kind of God. And if you understand that, you will not allow the enemy to buffet your mind, to put things in your thought pattern and make you believe that God is unfair and that he's chosen only certain people to be blessed or certain people that he can help. He's not partial. He's the God that gives to everyone equally. And it's according to your faith. Can you believe that God is with you? Can you believe that God wants to bless you? Can you believe that you're not at the place of end, that God is going to open up a way, make a way out of nowhere, cause your Red Sea to open up? You will not be swallowed in your trouble, your problems, your situation. You trust God. So trust him with that marriage, those children, that job, that career, that financial issue that you're going through, that sickness. Trust him with that ministry. Trust him in what direction he's taking you to give you the answer, because he will not fail you. He is the same God yesterday, today, and forevermore. He is God. He does not change because man changes. He is faithful to do what he promised. We're looking here quickly, and we see here that in the book of Genesis 26 and 26, that King Abimelech comes to Isaac and lets him know, you know, let's put this animosity away. Let's put this away, because we see that God is with you, and we see that God is for you, and we see that God is blessing you. And even though we were jealous, and even though we did some things, forgive us. Forgive us, because we made covenant with your father and we broke the covenant. But you didn't attack us. You didn't go against us. You still did what was honorable. And because of that, we want to come back and make this covenant with you again and enforce this covenant and seal this covenant. The king brings people with him so they can bear witness to this covenant, so that everyone would know this is what he's done. The king admitted that he and his people saw God. People will see God in your life. I don't care what trouble hits your life, and even if they're part of the trouble that hits your life, they will see God in your life in the midst of trouble. They will see God in the midst of your life. When you do it his way and you trust him, they will see God fighting for you, blessing you, opening doors for you, keeping you strong, keeping your head up, keeping you encouraged, and having doors open that no man can open. They will see your overcoming testimony with your lifestyle. Don't think that they're getting by. If you do it the way that God says, they're going to see God's hand on you like never before. And they recognize that God was blessing Isaac. They recognize the covenant that God had with him, and they wanted a covenant with him. God blessed, because God was blessing the people and God was blessing Isaac, they wanted part of that. So they go back and they get this covenant started. They do this, and they seal this covenant with food, with the banquet. And this covenant basically expressed the new relationship and the alliance that they would have. It was memorializing the alliance that they were now going to have. And this covenant was between both parties, and they basically allowed Isaac to understand, we're not going to bother you anymore. We're not going to do anything to you anymore. We're in a new, fresh, new covenant, and that's what we're going to see manifest in our relationship. Sometimes God will remind us of his covenant with us. Sometimes he has to remind us, because we have forgotten who he is and what he's able to do. We have forgotten what he's done to his son. We're going through life as if we don't have hope or an answer. So God has to remind us. He saved us. He delivered us. He set us free. He's made a way. His hand has been on us the entire time. He's walked us through so many things that should have overtaken us. He didn't allow the enemy to overtake us. He didn't allow circumstance to overtake us. And when he reminds us of this, that covenant in us is renewed, and we memorialize it by our worship and our thanksgiving unto him. I'm Pastor Cheryl Baxter. Thank you so much for joining me for Favorite Life. Process of Bear. Don't have any time to go any further today, but I pray that you have a wonderful worship experience this weekend. Go in there and worship and remember what the Lord has done, and understand that he is faithful and he will do exceedingly abundantly far above what we ask, think, or even imagine. Have a great worship experience. Know that God is faithful to do what he promised, and he's taking you somewhere, and what he promised in your life will manifest quickly. To the Lord with all your heart and not leaning to your own understanding. Have a blessed and wonderful day in Jesus' name.